Please turn to page 861, and we will do the responsive reading of Psalm 148. It also goes over into the next page. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights.
Praise the Lord.
All his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up the horn for his people, praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and following with verse 26. This is continuing on in the story of Samuel. And as you hear the lessons for today, pay close attention to this one and also to the gospel lesson from Luke. I believe you'll hear some, you will hear, if you're paying attention, you'll hear some important parallels. You can find this passage from Samuel on page 235 in the Hebrew Bible section of your pew Bible. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she has made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. It can be found on page 190 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. You can find this on page 55 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. I couldn't resist the stained glass image on the front of your bulletin, so that's the illustration of this story. In Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you are parents? Doesn't that story just make you frantic thinking about that? Can you imagine being 3 days without your kid, looking around for him? Bill thinks that's a good thing. I don't know. I don't think that's the point of the story, Bill. In our church calendar, we are well on our way already into the new year, since the beginning of Advent is the start of our liturgical year. But as you all know well enough, the secular calendar begins on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2013, 2 days from today. But this time of year, in the middle of that 12-day celebration of Christmastide that runs from December 24th through Epiphany on January 6th, I am often drawn to deep thoughts and reflection. On Christmas Eve day, Jane and I went to see the latest Steven Spielberg movie, Lincoln. I got to tell you, that's an amazing film. I would highly recommend it to everyone. But one of the many things you learn about Abraham Lincoln from Daniel Day-Lewis' portrayal of our 16th president is how Lincoln was considered by many to be coarse and crude, a country bumpkin, a hick, if you will, because of his delight in telling stories about simple folks in regular human situations. Lincoln's simple and direct stories resonated with nearly everyone because of his good humor and basic wisdom. In this respect, Lincoln was not unlike Jesus. Let me share with you two quotes that are attributed to Abraham Lincoln that seem to me to be full of wisdom and especially relevant to 21st century folks like you and me. "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." At another time, he is quoted as saying, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." These ideas certainly ought to give us pause for thought, reflection, and prayer. But since tomorrow is New Year's Eve, many people are thinking today about making a New Year's resolution. I don't know how you feel about making resolutions at the turn of the new year. A good friend of mine told me that several years ago, he made a resolution that he has strictly and successfully kept ever since. I resolved to never make a New Year's resolution again. He's sitting in the third pew over here. Well, it is also true that unless and until you make up your mind to change and to do the hard work required, you will never change. There's a quote attributed to Mahatma Gandhi that speaks to your individual responsibility in making a change. Gandhi said, "We must be the change we wish to see in the world." Change takes practice over long periods of time, and New Year's Day is as good a day as any to begin to make that change. Whether or not you decide to make any New Year's resolutions for improving yourself or a situation in your life, I hope that you will prayerfully consider the messages of today's scripture lessons. Perhaps you don't, but lots of people do have a desire to make a change in their own lives. And in a similar vein, over the years, many folks have come to me and spoken to me about how we or what we can do to grow our church. Now, if you are committed to changing your life, if you're committed to growing the Church of Jesus Christ, I believe that it boils down to a fairly simple prescription. Learn and practice your faith. Discern the will of God for your life and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe fully in my heart that if each one of us will undertake this model in 2013, everything else will fall into place. Learn and practice your faith. Discern the will of God for your life and share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you do that, your life will improve greatly and our church will grow. Listen again to the amazing passage from Colossians that Daniel read to us. And hear this as someone speaking to you. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What do you think? Will that work? You bet it will. Learn and practice your faith, discern the will of God for your life, and share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you will do that individually, and if we do that collectively, your life will improve greatly, and our church will grow. Guaranteed. And here, my brothers and sisters, is the absolute first and foundational step on this pathway to change. If you want to make this change, you need to join our Bible study group or start a covenant group of your own. And I stand ready to help you do that. That's the first step. As we read from Psalm 148, young men and women alike, old and young, together, let us praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. We're all in it together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. My brothers and sisters, it is almost 2013. It is time for this change for Christ. Amen.